So I'd like to officially welcome everyone to our Purium Health Products Wednesday Knowledge Conference Call, and we'd like to just thank everybody for joining us tonight. And Dave and I here at Purium Health Products really believe in the concept that knowledge is power, that you can empower yourself just by knowing something. And so that's what our goal is on these Wednesday calls, is just to spread the knowledge. Which really can make
a difference in their lives. And Amy and I want to remind you that we do not profess to offer medical advice. We are not doctors. And we, again, are only interested in helping you to increase your knowledge. We have searched far and wide. We go through a number of very respected journals. We gather information. We sift through that information. We try to sort through the misinformation as well, so that we could bring you clarity, so that you could, we hope that you will come to trust the information we share with you, and that that information will help you to ask better questions when you do confront the question that so many inevitably will. In fact, according to statistics, a significant number of our population, some studies say, as much as 90%, but most studies show that 80% and higher, that is the percentage of Americans who will be affected personally by cancer during their lifetime. Now, I think that the goal of tonight's call is to teach you to be one of the 10 or 15% who are never affected by it. And if you have been affected by it, we want to help you to do the very best for your body, because it is your body's job to fight cancer. It is your job to help your body to fight the cancer.
Absolutely. And this month is the month of April is Cancer Control Month, and that's why we decided to dedicate this week's Monday Morning Health Minute, as well as tonight's Consumer Education Call, to this really important subject. What can we do? How can we empower ourselves? How can we do everything we can to be part of that 10 or 15 or 20% of people in North America that are not ever going to experience cancer in their lifetime?
Exactly. Well, cancer strikes fear into even to the most, strong person. If the doctor even suggests the possibility, many people are floored. And the truth is that by the time many people hear from their doctor, "You have cancer," they have come to believe that that's synonymous with a death sentence. And, Amy, despite all that we've learned, cancer rates and cancer-related deaths have not fallen. They have gone up with each generation, or they have held steady. And according to statistics, as we said, according to the National Cancer Institute, this problem is going to be a greater impact on the lives of our children than at any other time in history. The medical community has historically focused their attention almost exclusively on the genetic predisposition for cancer as the main cause for the disease. But since the Human Genome Study showed that fewer than 20% of cancers are actually linked to genetics or heredity, and even those 20% that are linked to heredity and to genetics can be interrupted or can be affected by lifestyle. So we now see that environmental factors like stress, other environmental toxicities, food additives, artificial preservatives, and
coloring,
things of that matter, are definitely something that are, responsible for this outbreak, or not really an outbreak, but in this increasing, sort of problem that doesn't seem to be going away. If you look, one problem, if you might say it's a problem, one thing affecting cancer is that we have found a way to keep people alive longer. So more people are not dying from other things like the plague and wars and the causes of death that were more common 100 years ago. But if we are living longer, and that gives cancer a longer chance to incubate and thus manifest itself in our lives, then we've got to become more sophisticated. We've got to become more diligent. We have to become more proactive in making sure that that incubation never takes place. So for over 20 years, I've been sharing the hope of survival as taught to me by my mentor, Ann Wigmore, and her unprecedented work using green foods as a complementary treatment for all those suffering from cancer has inspired myself and inspired Amy, inspired those who work for us to offer hope to as many people as we possibly can. And so in honor of April's Cancer Control Month, and again, cancer control being the operative word, we've dedicated not only our Monday Morning Health Minute, but this Wednesday evening consumer education call to this very important topic. And so, Amy, that having been said, I know that we have always recommended a long list of holistic approaches to preventing cancer. We have some battle plans that address both women's and men's needs, particularly with breast cancer and prostate cancer, which seems to be two of the most prolific forms of cancer. And we have found that there are so many similarities in the foods that might be beneficial and the lifestyle changes that might be beneficial. So would you like to start, perhaps, Amy, in the household, in the environment, with food, or where would you like to start addressing this problem?
Sure. Well, I also just want to remind everybody that we, Dave and I, are not doctors. We're not members of the medical community, and we're not giving medical advice on this call or any one of our consumer education calls. We are just providing common sense or knowledge, so you can take that and apply it to yourself. So I just kind of wanted to reiterate that, but
Amy, that's important to reiterate, and I appreciate that. At the same time, we want to let you know that our work is well respected. Going back, if you go back all the way to 1993, some of you might recall that the head of the National Cancer Institute, no less, was quoted as saying that he believed that our company was one of the leaders in the field of phytonutrition, and that is the study of preventing disease with food. Additionally, we have a long history of teaching the work of Ann Wigmore, who dedicated her life to helping people fight cancer through the use of phytonutritional, or plant plant foods. And I don't mean the plant food you put in the soil. I mean plants that are the food that help your body fight cancer. And lastly, quite proud of the fact that the foreword to my book was written by a well-respected integrative oncologist. Now, for those of you who don't know what that term means, an integrative and complementary therapy is where a traditional doctor who might be using things like chemotherapy and other more traditional more Western allopathic means will address the body in different ways by using nutrition and holistic approaches in addition to the allopathic, and that's called a complementary medicine. Well, one of the, what I believe, the leader in integrative therapies for cancer is a gentleman, Dr. Keith Block, who has a peer review journal that he writes. In other words, a peer review journal is are papers that are published after being reviewed by people who are experts in the field, and he writes a peer review journal or authors a peer review journal for cancer papers, and he also runs cancer research at major universities and has a cancer treatment center. So it isn't as though people who are, it isn't as though Amy and I are without knowledge on these subjects, but we are not doctors. We want to help you to work with your doctor to give your body the best chance of survival. And I hope that that's clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's pretty common knowledge. You hear this in the media all the time that so many cancer deaths could have been prevented with simple lifestyle changes and or early detection. And so, of course, we promote going to your doctor, getting, regular checkups and physicals. But what we're mainly here to talk about tonight is that lifestyle change.
Now, you had a great statistic, Amy. Fully one-third, didn't you tell me, of cancers might be avoided?
Yeah, according to the American Cancer Society, which is a pretty conservative organization, one-third of cancer deaths are related to nutrition, physical inactivity, obesity, and other lifestyle factors. And they say just taking a few tiny steps could significantly reduce your cancer risk factor. And so that's what we're here to talk about tonight. We're here to talk about some tiny steps that you can do on an everyday basis and some maybe bigger steps. Maybe we're talking about there's crawling, there's walking, and then there's running to kind of combat or to lower the risk of getting cancer in your lifetime.
You know, it's amazing. Have you ever seen somebody like those movies where like somebody is like down in a ditch and somebody puts their hand out and they grab their hand and they're able to help them get out, right?
Right.
Or you see like maybe there's a bunch of people trying to push something and just one more person comes and adds that extra little push and suddenly they're able to push the car up the hill, right? A lot of times you watch a baseball game and the difference between winning and losing is one guy just being distracted for 1 second while a ball goes between his legs, or another person making a mental mistake and calling a timeout when they didn't have one. The bottom line is the difference between winning and losing a lot of times is a very small thing. Your body wants to win. Your body wants to fight in your favor.
Your body was designed to win. Your body was designed to fight in your favor. You know, let's not forget about that.
Exactly. And so what we want to share with you is that we believe that you could tilt the scales, you know, you could tilt the thing in your favor very easily if you take a few small steps. So let's start with your environment. First thing to look at in your environment are things like exposure to electricity. If you've got big power lines that are running through your building, if you're, you know, next to big power lines, or if you have a great, you know, a box of the main electrical box that comes into your entire building is on a wall of your home, you've got to take steps to change that. If you know that you live very near a factory that has air that's spewing lead, or near a freeway that has trucks spewing pollution into the air, you can change that. If you have water that's out of your tap that you know is polluted, get a water filter, drink, you know, purified water, you can change that. You know, if you're worried about the food that you eat being coated with chemicals, then you could buy organic. You could change that. If you worry about the carpet that you have put down on your floor outgassing with chemicals, or your house accumulating, you know, I can't think of the name of the gas, I apologize, but you could open windows, you could ventilate your house, you could buy carpet that's been outgassed. There's steps that you could and should take to protect yourself environmentally in every aspect. This means buying chemically free floor coverings and paints, and not using, you know, pots and pans that have no stick, you know, stuff on them. It means not heating food in the microwave in plastic containers. There are so many steps that you could take to put a wall up between you and the chemical toxicity that is affecting you. Wearing sunblock is another example. So we know that physically there are things that you could do to stop the chemical contamination of you and your family. And we encourage you to do that. From the cleaners that you use in your house that contain chemicals, to the actual, like the new car smell. When you get a new car, you could and should roll down the windows and put a fan in it, and when that smell is gone, most of the chemicals are gone too. But there are 96 chemicals that could lead to cancer in that new car smell. And so I'm telling you that we need to be aware of this. We need to put up a barrier between ourselves and the chemicals that affect us, and that's something that we can do. Now, Amy, why don't you take a minute and talk about the relationship between physical fitness and cellular health and the risk factor for cancer as well.
Well, I also just wanted to add.
On the
subject you were on, that we know there are these things that we can do environmentally, but we also know that we cannot live in a bubble. That we are going to be exposed to some of these, no matter how hard we try. And so you mm-hmm. have to take that into consideration, you know, in your lifestyle. And it's all about a balancing act, and that's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, the things that, you know, sometimes environmental factors are out of your control, whether it's where you're going to an office building or you're going to here or there or your the school that your children go to. But there are things that you can do to counteract those effects that we're going to talk about in a moment. And one of those things, actually, as Dave was mentioning, is physical activity. Physical activity is crucial. There's studies show that obesity and physical inactivity are major risk factors for cancer. Toxins happen to be stored in fat cells. So if you are exposed to many of these chemicals and many of these toxins, they have embedded themselves in your fat cells, unfortunately. And so they're there with you, and it can be more difficult to detoxify those out of your body. Another thing is when you exercise, when you are physical, your lymph moves, your lymph flows. Simply bouncing on a little rebounder, doing low-impact aerobics, things like that are great ways to make sure you get that lymph fluid moving around your body, and the lymph is like a cleaner, like a cleaning solution in your body. Is that a decent analogy,
yeah.
Dave?
And are you talking about not only that? That's a great. People don't realize, Amy, there's twice as much lymph fluid in their body than there is blood. And
wow.
We talk about circulation. We're not just talking about the blood circulating. We're talking about the lymph fluid. But there's also another key to that aerobic activity, because we know one of the studies that showed that when you have oxygen in your body, right, that it helps to fight cancer too, correct?
Absolutely. So, again, the more you exercise, the more lung capacity you build. The more lung capacity you build, the more oxygen you're going to be intaking and carrying in your blood and tissues. So it's just exercise or physical activity is...
It reduces cellular stress, which is one of the leading causes for cancer that you told us. It helps eliminate toxins, because when you're sweating, that's the best way to eliminate toxins is by sweating. It increases the uptake of oxygen, which... obviously, we know helps fight cancer, because in 1930 they discovered that cancer cells can exist in a highly oxygenated environment. And of course, as you said, in addition to stress, but one of the things that you mentioned was that fat cells carry toxins, and to eliminate fat cells is to eliminate toxins. And you don't want to wait like a time bomb for that to all happen later in life, and all those toxins as you're, for whatever reason, as you're getting older, and your muscles are wasting away, and you start to become thinner, and all of a sudden your body's burning all of these toxins. So very good relationship between exercise and disease, including cancer. So we're talking about now doing the best you can in your environment, doing the best you can through your exercise. And then the other thing that Amy talked about was simple diet. Just, you know, and we're not going to get heavily into this, you know that the cheeseburgers and fries and fried potatoes, there's chloramide, and chloramide is straight out cancer. It's been proven. That's why it doesn't matter if it's hydrogenated oil or not. When you heat up the starch in a potato to a certain heat with oil, it creates a cancer-causing agent. We know that if you have 5 servings of red meat a week for 5 years, your risk for colorectal cancer just skyrockets. So we know that foods that you eat, diet sodas and sugary foods and processed food, artificial colorings, artificial sweeteners, all of these things, hydrogenated oils. There are a long list of these foods that should be on the watch out for list. And if you change your diet and you get rid of a lot of the watch out fors and you start including the fruits and vegetables and whole grains and lean meats, and free range meats and versus meats that have hormones and antibiotics, well, you're doing much better for your body. Now, if you combine the exercise that Amy recommended and that some of the dietary changes that I just recommended, simple things like that, that's a 33% reduction in cancer risk, according to a very conservative organization.
Right.
Now, Amy, but let's take us beyond that 33%, because you said something really profound that is the most important thing perhaps that we've said tonight, and that's that we're never going to avoid everything. We live in a different world where there are, let's face it, there are things that are taxing us. There are things that are trying to drag us down. And if we don't do an equal amount of things that lift us up, then we are going to ultimately lose ground. You know what I mean? We're being dragged one step back. We better take a step forward. If we're being dragged two steps back, we better push ourselves two steps forward. Otherwise, we're going to lose ground in this battle.
Exactly. And say if you are genetically predisposed, you want to push yourself two or three steps forward if you're being pulled two steps back.
Absolutely. So we believe, obviously, that that food plays a tremendous role in this. And so we would like to go down. I think we probably have about 10 hours worth of information we're going to try to squeeze into the next 20 minutes. So, Amy, that having been said, are you ready to jump right into some superfoods, or would you like to set the table a little bit before we do that?
No, let's jump right in. We know that green foods are our heart and soul here at Purium Health Products, and I know, Dave, that Ann Wigmore was your mentor. I think you did a call two or three weeks ago about what she meant to you and green foods in general, but she treated people with cancer with wheatgrass therapy, and we've seen in her research how effective that can be. So tell us a little bit about how wheatgrass or kamut grass, which is the ancient Egyptian variety of wheat, can help tip those scales in the favorable direction.
Well, two of my favorite stories, and I hope you don't mind if I just answer that with a couple of my favorite stories, is the Chinese government found out that a lot of the Chinese Chinese medicines are based on animal organs. And they found out that these animal organ medicines were not working for some reason. And they went to the farms where the animals were being raised, and they found that they were being fed artificial foods. They were being fed, in other words, like livestock feed that was cheap and easily available commercially. And they passed a law that said any animal that's going to be used for medicine could only eat green grass, because then its organs will be perfectly pure, and thus those organs could be used as medicine. Now, that having been said, years later, Schnabel, in the Schnabel studies, this is Dr. Kohler and Dr. Schnabel, and this is cited in my book, they actually did studies where they gave a moderately healthy diet to 12 guinea pigs, a processed food diet to 12 guinea pigs, and a diet of just cereal grasses to 12 guinea pigs. Now, the processed food group got obese and died of disease early. They weren't very intelligent. They fought among themselves quite a bit. They lost their hair, etc. And they died young of disease. Now, that was to be expected, the processed food group. However, the moderately healthy group that got carrots and cabbage and lettuce, they actually were fairly healthy. But about 70% through their expected lifespan, they also developed diseases of malnutrition and ultimately died of things like cancer. Now, the third group that was fed cereal grasses, they grew to adult weight quickly, but they never exceeded it. They were a healthy weight. They had a healthy sexual reproductive function. They had phenomenal cognitive thought. In other words, their intelligence level was very high. And more importantly, they didn't die from diseases, and they exceeded the expected lifespan. Now, that is a pretty clear thing. Now, the last thing I'll tell you, Amy, is that when he repeated the studies in group A and group B, the very unhealthy group and the moderately healthy group, when they repeated those studies, they took them to the point to where they started to become diseased. They switched their diet to a grass diet, and they regained perfect and full health. So that was some of the earliest research back in the 30s that actually inspired Ann Wigmore herself to use wheatgrass in her healing therapies.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Now, we're talking about cereal grasses, but I know there's a plethora of information out there and research on algae as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about first chlorella and then move on to spirulina? And I know on chlorella you have a really awesome story, it's one of my favorites, about the photocopier and likening it to the chlorella growth factor and what chlorella has been shown to do or been scientifically researched to do in our bodies.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I'm going to bore you with one quick research study done by Dr. Yeshua Hota at the University of San Diego, where he took human cells and he exposed them to the equivalent of 50 x-rays. And he watched as the DNA become mutated. He then bathed those cells in the juice from green barley leaves, what we know as barley green juice, right? And he has watched in amazement as over just a few hours, the DNA that had been damaged repaired itself for the first time in history, virtually watching an anti-aging effect happen. The reversing of aging at the cellular level. So that's barley. And it's not nearly as fun of a story, though, as the one that we tell about chlorella. Because the human body, as many of you remember, is nothing more than a series of billions of cells working in unison. And so each cell, however, acts independently. Each cell works independently, and each cell is responsible for producing its own energy, for getting rid of its own waste, and for repairing itself in the event that it becomes damaged. And so, that having been said, what one study showed was that 80% of the damage done to cells happens during reproduction, and that sets the table for our next story, because the fastest replicating single cell in nature is chlorella. Again, the fastest replicating single cell in nature is chlorella. And that single cell never mutates. They have studied 1,000 generations, a million generations of chlorella replication, and never will chlorella become mutated. And they found out that there's a special nucleic acid, a ribonucleic acid, that is an RNA that is very similar to human DNA that is in chlorella. And that has been identified as what's called the chlorella growth factor. Now, chlorella growth factor, or CGH, is the reason why the Japanese use chlorella more than any other single supplement in history and have continued to do so for more than 30 or 40 years. They don't have a favorite supplement this year and a favorite supplement next year. Their favorite supplement year after year is chlorella, and the reason why is because of the massive amount of scientific evidence that shows that chlorella helps regulate and stop the mutation of cells during replication. As you know, cancer is nothing more in its simplest form, a spastic replication of cells. Cells that replicate very, very quickly, and they replicate unnecessarily, and that ultimate, you know, massive replication of cells is the growth that we call cancer. And so chlorella growth factor and chlorella are definitely and should be part of any cancer prevention lifestyle. And I want to, again, remind everybody that you're listening to the Purium Health Products Wednesday Night Consumer Education Call. We are talking all about cancer with an emphasis on prevention in honor of Cancer Control Month. We are not giving medical advice. We do not profess to be doctors, but we do believe that oftentimes the difference between success and failure, life and death, it could be something very simple. Maybe it's the food you eat, the exercise you do, the attitude that you have, and maybe, just maybe, by giving yourself that little extra push, that extra 1% or 2% advantage, or 10% or 20% advantage, you can make a profound difference in your future, in your own destiny. And if you can control your destiny, if you seek to control your destiny, then you're going to need the knowledge that we're offering you here tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Tell that story about the photocopier, because I really enjoyed
it. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. You see, every cell in the body is responsible for replicating itself, and it will give birth to the next generation of cell. And it's much like a photocopier. If you take a piece of paper and put it in a photocopier, and if there's one little blotch on that paper, when you photocopy it and make a copy of itself, pretty soon you'll have two, and then four, and then six, and then eight, and it'll just keep doubling, and eight will turn into 16, and 16 to 32, and every time you copy that thing, it's going to have not only the damage that was done to it, but the new damage that is applied to it, and every cell carries forward the damage of previous generations of cells, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, and the great-great-grandfather. All of the damage done to those cells is carried forward to the great-grandson, which has all of the damage accumulating. Ultimately, the damage gets to be so great that the cell can no longer repair itself, and it dies. And when cells begin to die, so do our body and our bodies. And so, much like the photocopier that just keeps becoming, you know, darker and darker, that piece of paper getting more and more splotched, we can take and screen and clean the screen. We could start to repair the process, and that's what we're encouraging people to do by using this quality of food.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that story. And why don't you also tell us about spirulina, which is another algae. It's not a single cell. It's actually something called a spirochete, but it's been used for long periods of time in other societies as a food staple. And there's been some really awesome research within the past 5 or 10 years at UC Davis talking about spirulina, specifically in conjunction with cancer control. So would you like to share some of that information with all of us?
That is some of the most profound information really coming out of the scientific community in the United States regarding green foods and cancer control. A couple of the chemicals that our body produces to help us fight cancer are interleukin and interferon, gamma interferon, and interleukin-1, interleukin-4. These are produced by our cells, and they fight cancer. Well, the study at UC Davis showed something pretty amazing. They showed simply by taking 10 grams of spirulina a day for 10 days, or it might have been 2 weeks, just to be safe, that the body began to produce 10 to 12 times more gamma interferon and gamma interleukin, which is pretty amazing. And so, in fact, it is so good at doing that that if you're having interferon therapy, then you can't take spirulina because it provides that much interferon. So the bottom line is that that spirulina is really another tremendous adjunct in any cancer preventive lifestyle, and we of course recommend it. We have many blends, the best of greens, we have the
more greens, the
power shake, all of those contain both spirulina, chlorella, and wheatgrass,
well,
and barley
grass. I apologize. The power shake is the spirulina and the kamut grass.
Oh, correct. My apologies. But more greens and best of greens both contain both spirulina, chlorella, wheatgrass, and barley grass. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so those could be tremendous. So the green food family has a lot to offer to cancer prevention and to strengthen your body's immune system and its ability to fight this condition. Of course, Bernard Jensen was a huge proponent of chlorella. Ann Wigmore, a huge proponent of wheatgrass. Dr. Hagiwara, a huge proponent of barley grass. And, of course, we have found that the community supporting the use of spirulina, as Amy said, is worldwide. And so these are our four power foods for green foods, power green foods for helping in a cancer-preventive lifestyle. But we also have to go into the kingdom of polysaccharides that are found in things like cherries and aloe and the such. So what would you like to cover next in our series of cancer preventive foods?
Yeah, I was going to say let's move on to another color in the rainbow, and let's talk about our apothecary. And you may, all of our listeners may have read in the newspaper or heard on the news, you know, they're always talking about look for deeply pigmented foods. and that there's more phytochemicals, there's more antioxidant protection in these deeply colored fruits and vegetables. And so I think that the tart Montmorency cherry is a prime example of that. It's a deep red red cherry that is packed full of antioxidants. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that? And then also, don't forget to talk about the study that was done combining the aloe vera, which we have a very potent 40X concentrated aloe vera product, with the cherry, and how much more effective those two were when used in combination with each other.
Exactly. Well, a lot of people have heard about pomegranate juice, and I hear people are just like drinking
crazy
pomegranate juice like crazy. Yeah. Well, the tart cherry actually has more of what you're looking for in pomegranates, and that's called ellagic acid. You see, when you drink pomegranate juice, what you're looking for is ellagic acid, and there's twice as much ellagic acid in a serving of tart cherry as pomegranate. Now, why would you be looking for ellagic acid? Well, that's because a study came out from the Human Aging Research Institute, the Hollings Cancer Research Institute, that showed that when you that showed that ellagic acid worked virtually against every known type of cancer. We're not saying tart cherry does. We're saying that the Hollings Cancer Research Institute showed that ellagic acid worked against every known type of cancer. They also found another compound that was very effective against cancer called parallel alcohol. And wouldn't you know it, tart cherries also have parallel alcohol naturally occurring. Now, as if that weren't enough, we all know that free radicals are cancer-causing compounds, and that there's a new measure that of controlling free radicals called oxygen radical absorbance. And on the oxygen radical absorbance scale, or the ORAC scale, tart cherry tests higher than any other food scientifically. We put it right on the label. We can give you 5,000 oxygen radical absorbance units as based by what's called the millimole method, which is the strictest method. And there's a lot of people throwing a lot of really high ORAC numbers around, but it's sort of like they're using the Celsius scale and we're using the Fahrenheit scale. Their number just it just doesn't jive. And it's a different scale, and it isn't as potent. If you're 35 on the Fahrenheit scale, you're actually relatively cold, but on the Celsius scale, you're burning hot. So there is quite a difference. So the bottom line is that we have the highest ORAC rating of any single food, which helps control free radicals, and this is very, very important. It complements the ellagic acid and complements the parallel alcohol. But perhaps more importantly is the complementary effect when you take our tart cherry with our 40X aloe vera. And Amy had prompted me to tell you about a study that was done at Tel Aviv University wherein they combined aloe vera with melatonin. And when aloe vera was combined with melatonin, it dramatically increased the rate at which melatonin entered and was suspended in blood serum. And they then coupled this with another study, which showed that women who had elevated levels of melatonin in their blood serum had a very low instance of breast cancer. And women who had a chronically suppressed level of melatonin in their blood serum had a dramatically higher incidence of breast cancer. More melatonin, far less cancer. Less melatonin, far more cancer. What holds melatonin in blood serum? The aloe vera. Where could you find naturally occurring melatonin? In tart cherry. Combine aloe and tart cherry. It sounds like you're fulfilling the promise of that Tel Aviv University study.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Amy's thinking, not to mention all of the polysaccharides, that help fight cancer as well that are in aloe.
Exactly.
And that certainly is true as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I am starting to notice we're running pretty short on time, and there's three other products
oh, no.
I would really like to cover tonight. One of them being Be Energetic, and most people would say, well, that's funny. How does energy relate to being able to fight cancer or to tip the scales in your favor so you're not one of those, say, 80 or 90% of people ending up with cancer? So do you want to talk about how the ingredients, not necessarily the fact that you're going to be bursting with energy, but what the ingredients do and how they work within the body, and so how that energy is also in relation to your immune support?
Well, we all know that our adrenal glands are there to help us through the most stressful times of our life. And the more stress that you have, the more adrenaline that is released. Now, when you're fighting disease, you are under so much stress, and you're fighting and fighting and fighting. And so that fight or flight energy that adrenaline gives you, the ability to stand and fight or to run real fast as you fly or in flight, then you know that gets burned out, and pretty soon when your body needs extra energy, it's not there. And Dr. Bernard Jensen, the father of iridology, who survived prostate cancer for 50 years, lived with prostate cancer after they told him he was going to die. He taught Amy and I in his last couple of years of life that we could not help people fight cancer if we were not willing to help them recharge their adrenal glands. And so Be Energetic uses cordyceps. It uses high desert bee pollen and white American ginseng. The combination is recommended to us by Dr. Bernard Jensen, and we have been using it with people ever since with phenomenal results. Athletes or people who have chronic fatigue or people who are fighting cancer alike benefit from this product. And we know that you will too. And that's why we put it onto our cancer control program.
Absolutely. And a real positive side effect is that you will have lots of extra energy. So you'll feel more like going out and exercising, which again, it perpetuates the good. The good side of the scale here.
Exactly. And Amy, while we're talking about breast cancer, why don't you run down one of our favorite foods? I know that we're running out of time, but why don't you talk about like flaxseed and some of the misperceptions or perhaps the benefits of flaxseed?
Well, flaxseeds contain lignans, and lignans are the fibrous portion in the outer hull that there's been many studies, much research done, showing that they are very, very potent at boosting the immune system, in particular in relation to breast cancer and cancers relating to like hormonal types of organs.
In fact, probably our favorite study is the study, and it was just a single study. This wasn't a long-term, double-blind clinical study, but it was a very impressive study that showed that lignan was equally as effective in suppressing the recurrence of tumors in women who have had breast cancer, was equally as effective as was tamoxifen, which is the most commonly recommended drug for post-operative cancer control. And so lignan is equally as effective without the side effects. That's pretty good stuff. And, of course, you get all the other benefits of flaxseed, like the flaxseed oil and the cholesterol-lowering effect of the beta-glucans. So flaxseed, definitely one of those superfoods. And one of the things it's super for is cancer control.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk quickly about the two products that we formulated, specifically one for men, specifically one for women, called Men's Defense and Women's Defense. These products were formulated with the reproductive system in mind for women and prostate in mind for men. They share some common ingredients like the red clover extract, and then specifically the men's has saw palmetto, pygium, nettle, pumpkin seed, and lycopene, which are all ingredients, herbs, and foods that clinical research has shown to be very effective in the fight against prostate and the problems associated with an enlarged prostate.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, if you look in the scientific research and you look at saw palmetto and the plant sterols that are contained within that, if you look at Pygium and the unique compounds, the healing compounds, this is one herb from Africa. There's another herb from North America. We have herbs literally from all corners of the planet coming together to help men to deal with what is a problem. By the way, men, for every year of your life, your risk of prostate cancer grows by 1%, which means when you're 75, your risk is 75%. When you're 50, your risk is 50%. Think about that, gentlemen.
When you live to 100, which is very well possible, what's
that's right. No, you're absolutely right. And so, as you know, there's a lot that could be done, and we're encouraging all men. Every man is in this risk category. So all men should be looking at Men's Defense on a regular basis. And you know, the funny thing about Women's Defense, Men's Defense is just for men. It really is. But Women's Defense, Amy, I think you and I talk about this all the time. We should just call it like Sea Defense or something,
like,
because
defense
or defense, period.
Right, because it's not specifically for women only.
And probably the main thing I'm referring to is Amy and I have found 10 organic mushrooms. And these are mushrooms like reishi and shiitake and maitake and lion's mane and so many others.
Cordyceps. Right. There's a list of these medicinal mushrooms, and there's lots of research in China or in Asia about how these mushrooms can affect and support the immune system.
Amazing research. Research that makes you stand up and go, oh my goodness, why aren't these being used in hospitals and stuff? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so we put together what we believe to be the number one top herbs and healing foods to help men fight prostate cancer in Men's Defense. And what I mean is fight, meaning prevent. And in the other, the Women's Defense, we've done the same. And as I said, that the Women's Defense could be used by everybody. But if you look at the ingredients, they are really, really potent. There's a wide variety of ingredients. As Amy said, red clover, 10 different medicinal mushrooms, as well as some soy isoflavones. And Amy, you want to round out the list on the Women's Defense for me?
Here we have the medicinal mushrooms, the sprouted and fermented soy, the red clover, which we talked about before, uno de gato, which is cat's claw, which is a South American herb known to support boost the immune system, as well as glycidin, which is a very potent extract from the melon that contains SOD, which is one of the most potent antioxidant enzymes known to man.
Exactly. And so the Women's Defense is absolutely, in my opinion, a phenomenal combination of ingredients. And each of these foods that we talked about can be used individually. Each one of them are isolated. It's just these two combination products, Men's and Women's Defense, that you may want to consider as well, depending on your specific and individual condition and position. Amy, I think that you know that, again, we don't profess to play doctor, but the miracles that we have heard, the stories that we've gotten, the testimonials and the effect on people's lives that we've helped to effectuate is evidence enough for me to confidently recommend each of these foods to every person listening. There are no contraindications or side effects that you need to worry about. These are completely safe for your body. The only side is up. There's no downside to taking these products. And the worst thing that could happen is you live a long life free from disease and you're bored all the time. That's the worst thing that happens.
You wouldn't want that. Well, and I just kind of wanted to summarize by saying everything in life is all about choices. Every bite of food that we put in our mouth once we're the age where we can provide food for ourselves. It's a choice. It's a choice of what we put in our mouth. It's a choice a lot of the time where we go, where we hang out, what we do, whether we choose to watch TV or whether we choose to go take a walk in the evening. And so what we're just trying to make people aware of is just think about every choice you make, because every choice you make could either be putting one more notch on the cancer side of the scale or one more notch on the let's do something about it, let's not be in that 80% of people, 80 to 90% of people that are going to end up encountering cancer in their lifetime. So just live consciously. I think that is the message that we want to bring to you tonight. Live consciously. Don't feel guilty when you're not perfect, because what you can do is if you do choose to have that whatever greasy hamburger, or you go to your mom's or grandma's house and have a fried fish dinner or a fried chicken dinner, don't feel bad about it. Just maybe do a little bit of extra superfoods that we talked about tonight to counteract that, because life is all about balance. And one thing we didn't touch on was the stress factor. Stress is also very damaging to your immune system. So you want to make sure that you don't get too neurotic over living consciously in the choices that you make, because if you stress yourself out so much over that, that could also be putting a notch on the side of the scale that you don't want.
The Stress X for mental stress. We want the Be Energetic for physical stress. And what I want to tell you, I've got two messages before I go, and these are my final words tonight, Amy. And when I'm done, you can tell people how to, how to tune back in and re-listen. But, I've been around a lot of people with cancer. They come to me with that. They come to me. They ask me for help. This has happened now for 24 years. Amy could tell you that we had a friend, Bob, who had cancer for 20 years. I knew him from the time he was 64 or 70 till the time he was 90.
Right.
The point is, and everybody goes, but Dave, if Bob still has cancer, I said, yeah, Bob's still alive. If he was dead, he wouldn't have cancer. You see? And so living with cancer is a reality. Now, here's what I want to tell you. And a lot of people, some of you know this about me, some of you don't, but I grew up in not necessarily friendly environments. I grew up in what some people could call the wrong side of the tracks. I grew up in what could be called a very violent environment, where sometimes walking to school was something that could be a life-endangering event. And I've been in some pretty serious scraps in my life. I've been in fights where guys really, really wanted to hurt me, where they would pretty much do anything, and where I, in turn, had to do anything. This is called a street fight. This is where pulling hair, gouging eyes, throwing dirt, kicking in weird places, all of that counts, because it's them against you. You didn't pick this fight, and you will not survive if you don't do whatever it takes. And what I'm telling you is, when you encounter cancer, this is a street fight. This is not the Marquis de Queensberry rules. You don't have to follow anybody's damn book about how you're going to fight. That's no doctor. That's nobody. This is your battle. And I'm telling you, you better be ready to do whatever it takes. You better be ready to get into that street fight. You better not give up. I'm telling you, if you give up, you have lost. Never give up. That's the main way. I've seen strong people fight vicious cancers, and I've seen weak people succumb to weak cancers. The question is, which one are you? With Amy and my help, I know which one we want you to be. You're going to be the street fighter. You're going to be the winner. You're going to be the one left standing in the end, if we have anything to do about it.
Absolutely. And don't wait till you've got that diagnosis to start making these choices in your life. Start doing it now while you're healthy, while you're young. Put it in your children's lives and educate them, make them aware of what they can do for themselves to live a long life free from disease. Well, thank you, Dave, very much. I know it's a very passionate subject. It's close to your heart, and we definitely feel that and appreciate it. So I did want to mention one more time how you can re-access this information if you'd like to pass it along or just listen to it one more time for yourself. You could call the replay line starting tomorrow by dialing 212-461-8911. Again, that's 212-461-8911. Also, you could log on to our website at www.phporder.com. Click on the education tab. Click on the link to the conference calls. You can listen to this, and we have archived conference calls from about the past year and a half there on the site. So please check it out. Also, if you provide us with your email address, we will email you out a web link directly to the conference call, so you can forward that to anyone, anyone that you would like to say, hey, take a listen to this information. It just might change your life. So thank you, Dave, so much again. I very much appreciate it. I know we're out of town. I know you're traveling. You will be in New York. You will be in New Jersey, I believe, tomorrow, and you'll be in Manhattan on Saturday. Walk-up tickets to the door are available for the Manhattan event, I know for sure. You can call into customer service if you'd like to get more details about that, or check it out on our website, again, at www.phporder.com. So
by all means, if you have anybody who you know in the New York, New Jersey area, try to hook them up, get them out here. We'd love to meet them. If any of you listening are on the East Coast, please do come out. We would love to see you as well. Amy, thank you for your time tonight. Great job as usual. And everybody listening tonight, thank you for being part of our community, part of our family of like-minded people. Together, I know that we will make a difference in people's lives. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason I hope that you're here as well. So with that said, good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night. Bye-bye.